I suspect that today's devotion is going to sound unusual because of the style. It will be a first-person narrative that I will read with the intent of sounding like Simon Peter and using the text of Luke 22, these verses. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." Then Peter went out and wept bitterly. Let me tell you more about a night that was truly a very low point in my life. Earlier in the evening, what you call Maundy Thursday, Jesus had said to me, "Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail, and when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." I couldn't believe what I was hearing. Could I really fall at the hands of Satan? No way. I voiced my protest. "Lord, I'll go to prison with you. I'll face death with you." That's when he spoke the warning again. "I tell you, Peter, the rooster will not crow this day before you will deny three times that you know me." I do regret that I did not take the warning to heart. Jesus was right, but at the time I refused to accept it. There were many things that we disciples would not accept at the time, like Jesus giving himself up to his enemies and being crucified. Though he had warned us, we couldn't take it. I even tried to stop it with a sword. How rash I was to cut off that man's ear. How devoted Jesus was, not only to heal the guy, but to let those soldiers arrest him. How panic-stricken we all became. We looked at each other and thought the same thing. "They've taken Jesus. What will stop them from taking us?" So we turned and ran as fast as we could out of the Garden of Gethsemane. A few hundred yards down the path, I slowed down to catch my breath. I looked behind and noticed the soldiers were not running after us. We were not in danger. Then I thought of my promise to Jesus. I had to go back. I persuaded John to come with me. We followed at a safe distance behind a massive group, hundreds of men, leading Jesus to the home of the high priest. That's where I took a fatal step. I should have stayed away, but my impulsive nature drove me on to enter the courtyard. I kept thinking, "I've got to see what happens. I owe Jesus that much." I was so preoccupied with my promise that I didn't even think about the situation I was facing. You can relate to that, I think, for at some point or another, you have allowed yourself to enter situations that were sure to bring temptation. Like most temptations, this one seemed harmless at first. A bunch of servants and guards standing around an open fire. I joined them to keep warm. One of them, a young female servant, kept staring at me. When she realized who I was, she blurted out to the others, "This man was with Jesus." I panicked. There were guards right next to me. I felt threatened. What if they arrest me? I was outnumbered, and Jesus wasn't there to help. I had to do something. So I said, "Woman, I do not know him. I don't know what you're talking about." I tried to get away from the group by leaving the fire and walking out to the porch, but the girl followed me and she said again, "This man is one of his disciples." I denied it twice more, even with an oath and with a curse on myself. I had to convince them that I wasn't his disciple, for the sake of my safety. That's what I thought anyway. At that moment, a rooster crowed in the distance. I looked across the courtyard, and there he was. The guards were moving Jesus to a different part of the compound. He stopped and looked right at me. Suddenly, I knew what I had done. I had denied the Lord 3 times, just like he said. I would always be known in the biblical record as the disciple who denied the Savior. Pastors and teachers would point me out as a blatant example of falling into temptation. But friends, can you say you have done better? You haven't denied him with the exact same words. But what about your actions? Have you done things or not done things that would deny the Christian life he expects you to live? Have you kept your faith hidden from the unbeliever? Do you say nothing when the chance to witness the gospel comes along? Do you remain silent when people sin openly in front of you? Before you come down on me, be sure to examine yourself and realize your own denial of Jesus. The thought of what I did brought tears to my eyes. I couldn't defend it. I was in the wrong. The Lord had every right to cast me away. But his face did not show anger. It was a look of pity and love. His look at me caused me to remember what he said a few hours before. He said that I would fall into sin, but he also said that I would turn back. Of course, we know that God was doing the turning in my heart. He moved me to repent of my sin. He also caused me to know the relief of having my sin forgiven. It took me a while to realize how expensive that forgiveness would be. The Lord did not merely overlook my sins, as we Christians do when we forgive each other. The Lord made full atonement for my sin. Not just my sin of denial, but all of my sins paid for on the cross. Our slate is wiped clean, yours and mine, because Jesus paid the price. I know it for a fact, as one who saw the crucified Jesus risen from the grave. He appeared to me personally and assured me that because of him, I was right with God and righteous in his eyes. You Christians today were not there to see any of that. Maybe you think it to be some kind of disadvantage. Well, it doesn't change a thing. You have the exact same Savior that I have. Jesus knows your sins as thoroughly as he knew mine. Jesus moves you to repent even as he moved me. Jesus Christ has justified you of all your sins as much as he has justified me. Because of him, you and I can look forward to a day when we see Jesus face to face, revel in the sight, and also meet each other for the first time. Until then, my fellow Christians, may you always experience the recovery of his grace whenever you fall. May you also do as I wrote, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. Let us close our worship today with the first 4 stanzas of hymn 358. The first 4 stanzas.
Juniors are involved in the daily community.